This section, John 13, verse 18, through to the end of the chapter. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, and today we're continuing our message on Judas, the man who stands as the warning against false professors in the church. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be one that's pretending that you are a true Christian, but rather search your heart and let Judah's life and Judah's demise as he went out into the darkness and later betrayed the Lord, only then to take his own life, that you would recognize the wretchedness of such a state of heart. And God, in his grace, is giving you this warning that you might come to true, genuine faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. What is it that can guide you into a true profession of faith in the Lord Jesus? Well, first of all, it's to recognize your own lost condition by nature. It is to confess that you are only a sinner. Judas was proud. Judas had his own agenda. He was not looking to Jesus as the Savior of his soul, but rather he despised the Lord Jesus and he walked out. And if you are despising God's Son, if you are reducing him to some kind of mere assistant to help you in your agenda, then you are like Judas. But if you've bowed the knee to Jesus and confessed that he is your Lord, then that is genuine profession of faith. Now, I'm going to say no more at this point. We're going to have the message, then we're going to have a hymn, and I'll be back just to say a few words at the end of the program, and I hope that you'll take down the mailing address, email, phone number, and be in touch with me here as we get serious about your condition, your state of your soul before God. Stay tuned as we let the Bible speak.
Do you see how careful John is in writing this? He identifies who this Judas is, lest he be mixed up with any other. He's Judas, the son Iscariot, the son of Simon. And yet, this pointed, unmistakable arrow that was driven toward Judas didn't move him, didn't shake him. He brushed it off, and he did not turn in any repentance. What did he do? He went out from that company. His heart remained hardened as adamant stone, and he chose darkness over light. He could not enjoy that company anymore. He went to his own place. That's very searching, very revealing of his heart. And when someone, perhaps born into the Christian home and church going, and hears the gospel, and at some point rejects the light, turns from the truth of the gospel, and says no to it, and they go out to their own company, and it is night. It is certainly night in their soul. Now, I hope that your heart is not as hardened as Judas, but that you will hear the warning and receive the call to throw down your opposition to Christ, to trust him, believe in him, and be saved. Let me ask you then, are you a Judas? Or are you coming to this table to take the cup and bread with a wonderful heart of thanksgiving? That's the mark of the true believer. So there's the warning over Judas, the false professor. We move now to the warning of Satan's continual hostility. Because soon as Judas went out, Satan entered into him. We're told after the sop, Satan entered into him. Verse 27. Now, I said after he went out. I need to back up on that. It was even while he was interviewing with the Lord. And when the Lord identified him one-to-one, after the sop, Satan entered into him and said, Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Here is the point of no return. Here is the trap door opening and Judas departing. All restraints are now off. The Lord is saying to him, Judas, you do what you must. He had given up. He allowed him to go on in his darkness. for Judas had spurned the light over and over, and his hardened heart to Jesus' love, that he now was going and irretrievably going on in the way of darkness. Now we must note that Satan never changes. He takes sinners hostage and he leads them captive at his will to do his dirty work. And when we give place to the devil, we are always in immediate danger. Here is Satan entering into a man who has rejected the light. And the moment that he does so, he is in control of him and of his future actions. J.C. Ryle wrote on this, he said, "Let us note the reality, personality, and awful power of our great spiritual enemy, the devil. There are degrees in his power and dominion over us. If his first temptations are not resisted, he may in the end gain full and entire possession of every part of our soul and lead us captive to be his slaves." This seems to be the history of Judas. And so here is a tremendous warning. And every time we think of Judas and the abominable sins that he committed, the betrayal of our Savior, the selling him into the hands of his enemies, the taking of the 30 pieces of silver, well, we find that the devil is there because he's a murderer from the beginning and he's doing his evil work. Now, this is an argument for you to believe the gospel. Do not give place to the devil. Do not give place to the evil work of darkness, but rather flee to Christ today. Am I perhaps preaching to someone this morning and you're standing on the edge of a decision and you're tempted to go back to the world, tempted to leave off Christianity, tempted to follow the popular ways of sinful men? The devil would enter in and drag you in that direction. But I bid you to flee to the Lord and do not become as Judas. Do not have such a hardened heart, but rather give your heart to the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Have you done so? Will you do so now, right now, this moment? Boys and girls, visitors, friends, will you give your heart to Christ now? At this moment, where you sit, right where you are, just say in your heart, "It's Christ for me. It's decision time. It's Christ for me." And this question, "What then shall I do with Jesus," which is called Christ, it is as relevant today as ever before. What will you do with Jesus? Will you be his disciple, or will you walk on in the way of darkness that leads to destruction? Now I move now to Peter, the warning that is to abide in the Savior's love. Let's look at verses 31 and 32. "Therefore, when he was gone out," that is when Judas was gone out, "Jesus said, now," and you can almost hear the sigh of relief in that word, "now." Now that the traitor is out, now that I'm talking to my own true disciples. And you'll notice something in verse 33 that he refers to them as little children. That's the only time. That's the only time that the Lord Jesus referred to his disciples as little children. And it is significant that it was a moment that Judas was gone out that the Lord could refer to the other 11 as little children. Now, in verse 31, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him." What a sigh of relief, and what an emphasis is now upon the thing that will glorify the Father, and in return bring glory to the Son. What is it? What is that thing? Judas had gone out. He had gone to betray the Lord. He would soon return this night to the garden with the mob of the Sanhedrin to arrest the Lord Jesus. It was Judah's going out that triggered the events that would lead up to the crucifixion, the arrest, the questioning in Caiaphas' house, the leading to Pilate's gate, the cries of Jerusalemites, crucify him, crucify him. The carrying him out or leading him out to Calvary, where he would be nailed on a cross and give up his life. Now is the Son of Man glorified. And it was the cross work of the Lord Jesus that he's referring to. And here in his redemptive death is the greatest act that would bring glory to the Father and in return, glory to the Son. Can you see that there is nothing in this world that brings more glory to God than the work of the death, the sacrifice, the blood shedding of the Lord Jesus upon that cross? In 24 hours from this statement, two men would be dead. Judas, who would go out and hang himself, and Jesus, who would glorify the Father in his death by offering up his life a ransom for many and pouring out his blood as the payment for sin. And we need to remember today as we come to this table that there is absolutely nothing that we could dwell on, meditate upon, or worship upon that will bring more glory to God than the work of Calvary. There is no greater deep love to be found in the universe than the love of God for sinful men and for you and me. Oh, how he loved us. Now, preachers need to know this. There is no greater message to tell the world than that a substitutionary Savior laid down his life at Calvary for sinners. That's the good news that we're called to tell the world. And while there's 1,000 other subjects to be preached, it is the preaching of the cross that is the power of God unto salvation. And so we take delight in preaching that today. Churches must know this. This is our work. We must not stoop to serving kings if we are not preaching the death of our Savior to men. The work of the church, the work of the gospel church, is to be living, worshiping, displaying the power of the crucified Savior to the world. That's why we call ourselves a gospel church. We don't want to be necessarily the biggest church or the most popular church. We want to be known as a gospel church. And we want every soul that comes to hear the message to be continually hearing of the Savior's death on that cross upon that tree. Now, I wrote this little note on the side of my Bible, and my new Bible doesn't have a very large margin, so I had to get myself a pen with very fine tip and good black ink. And I noted this little comment: those who glorify God shall be glorified by God. And that sums up all that Jesus said at this juncture. Do you see that today? And there's a lesson for all of life. The priority of the Christian is to glorify God, and God will in turn bring honor upon you in this world and in the world to come. Now, isn't it a wonderful thing that he uses this term, little children? And he uses it for the first time only after Judas is departed. And we've got a note here that not everybody is a child of God. It is wrong to say that everyone is the children of God. No, only those who are truly born again, only those who are truly washed in the blood of Calvary, only those who can say, thank you, Lord, for dying for me upon that cross, can we be referred to as the children of the Father, little children. And so the Lord divulges for the first time of his departure. And he shares with them that he's going to depart from them. He's going to be gone. And the disciples will be left behind as orphans. But he gives them a warning. He says to them there in that verse 33, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you." And then he gives them a new commandment. We call this sometimes the 11th commandment. And he says, "I give you a new commandment, that ye love one another." And here is the warning. I'm going to be gone. You're going to be ministering in a hostile world. You're going to be called to suffer as my witnesses. But you must love one another. "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, and by this shall you keep yourselves in the love of God, by loving fellow Christians in the church." And that has been the mark, the branding of Christians down through the ages. To fellowship in the living body of believers is God's way of keeping you in his love. In a hostile world, it's the way of him growing you and strengthening you, because you confess your need of that fellowship and strengthening. Now that's where Peter went wrong. Peter thought, "I will never deny your name. Others might blaspheme you, but I will never." And Peter had to be told outright that this night you will deny me thrice. Thrice, right down at the end of the chapter, verse 38. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." And as you know, Peter had to learn the hard way that he was weak. Now, many think that they can be Lone Ranger Christians. They can do without the church. They can do without their fellow brothers and sisters, without their prayers, without their support, without the ministry of the word, and they can play fast and loose with life in or out of the church. Don't follow Peter. Recognize your weakness. And of course, Peter was restored and Peter was renewed and he learned his lesson. I trust you don't have to learn the hard way, but that you today will receive the warning. Keep yourselves in the love of God and be known by your love one to another. Don't opt out. Don't miss the warmth, the fellowship, the strength that God gives through the fellowship of the saints. So don't be a Judas. Confess your hardened heart. Look to Christ to save you from Satan's grip, and trust in the blood of Christ. Never despise it, and rest, rejoicing in the fellowship of the saints. Now, this is called communion because we do this together. We do this unitedly. Now, I know we have single cups, and you take the cup and you drink your little portion, but we're all drinking and eating at the command of the same Savior, with the same promises, and expressing our individual faith in Christ. Communion. It means we are in, not out. It means that we are remembering the Lord till he come, and we're asking him to keep us in his love.
I stood one day. Sin is lost.
One of the most sacred moments for the Christian is the communion experience. It is to prepare your heart to sing about the cross, to pray about the cross, to listen to the explanation of Jesus' death in the sinner's place as a substitute in our stead. It is to behold with the eye of faith the suffering Lord Jesus as the sacrifice for sinners in our place. And then as we participate in taking the cup and the bread, we use these physical emblems to represent that blood and that body. And the Lord has ordained these signs and symbols that we might physically enter into and rest in the grace of the Lord Jesus. It is a wonderful experience by faith. And I call upon you to recognize your need of personal trust in the Lord Jesus as the Son of God. There is no other way to be saved and go to heaven. And I trust that you will come to know the Savior and that you will come to know the joy of sins forgiven and of communing with the saints at the Lord's Supper to enjoy the sweet, blessed grace that is in the Lord Jesus. We look away from the cup, we look away from the bread to see the Lord, and we ask that He will draw near to us, pouring His grace into our hearts. I hope that you know what I'm talking about, because you are not a Judas, but you are one who is truly looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Again I say, if I can be of personal help, write, email, or call. All the details are coming up. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.